Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Morning, Darren.
How are you?
Well, a bit flat after last night.
Yeah, they're a bit disappointing, I think, but you look at Wolves, they're absolutely flying at the top of the league, and maybe if it wasn't for the sending off, Leeds might have got something out of the game. What were your thoughts?
Well, let's remember that 2 months ago, Leeds United were absolutely flying, top of the league. I thought the win on Saturday was really, on Sunday was a really good one. I saw most of it, and Middlesbrough are a good team, and I think we performed well, and thought that, you know, that was a turning point. But I hope for Cody Dasra a lot. Yes, last night, when Wolves did demonstrate they were a good team, I agree. But on the other hand, if we want to win promotion, we've got to match them, and we didn't. And I agree the sending off hampered us the last half hour. But I think the game was lost by then anyway. They've done very well. And by all reports. And the 4-1, you don't really argue with that, is it?
No, so, quite right, really. There's no really arguing with it. And I suppose the disappointment is after just sort of getting things back on track after Sunday, just disappointing that I suppose it's all now on the Barnsley game. The Barnsley game this weekend is very important.
Because as I pointed out, it's been relegated. Only won once in, that was Ross McDermott. Or Brian McDermott, sorry. And of course, it is a derby game, so now we know. Form goes out the window. And Cardiff beat them. So they'll be anxious to prove a point. That should be a very hard game, very challenging game. But I will think that behind the scenes, closed doors, at Elland Road, there must be serious discussions going on, because we're now 10th. We have lost as many games as we've won. We don't have a attractive goal difference. So that when we're coming into now the serious part of the season. So the owner then has to start thinking about where he goes from here.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be an interesting January, there's no doubt. I wanted to get your thoughts. There was a lot of people against it, a lot of people for it, because they did hashtag together on Sunday at the Middlesbrough game here at Elland Road. And there was obviously a nice big banner on across the East Stand saying together. They gave out flags everywhere. And now, obviously, some of the fans threw those flags towards one of the assistant referees. So there's going to be an investigation.
Yeah, I think that came from the call of the cop, didn't it?
Yeah, and I'm just wondering your thoughts on these sort of gimmicks that clubs seem to use at the moment, like using flags, banners or clappers sometimes to create more of an atmosphere. What are you a fan of this sort of thing?
There's an interesting article a few days ago pointing out that Leeds was the highest average gate in the Championship, well over 30,000. So you would think you wouldn't need any atmosphere, anything to enhance the atmosphere. You think the numbers of people there would be atmosphere in itself. And also, it's been very encouraging because of the stinking results that Leeds have got in October and beginning November, that so many people are still turning up. So a bit artificial, unnecessary, and as Matt has proved, a safety hazard. I think it's unnecessary, it shouldn't be done, and they should be banned. And of course Leeds are now going to be investigated by the FA for the behaviour of the cop, and it could result in a fine or a ban, or worse still, could even be a close to the top of two games. Not sporting. Totally unnecessary. Gives your club a bad name. And since these things are reported around the world now, gives Leeds United name a bad name around the world, would-be investors see that kind of behaviour and then say, or even managers, coaches, whatever, do I want to be associated with that kind of club, with that kind of reputation? It's always a bad one. There's a few, a small minority tiles the club with a bad name. And apart from paying the entrance fee, what they contribute to the club that they claim to love will follow through thick and thin.
Well, KB, it was the budget yesterday. Philip Hammond delivering a budget of the House of Commons. What was your reaction to it? There was some pretty good news for first-time buyers with the reduction and the abolition of stamp duty for anything under 300,000. What were your thoughts overall?
Well, no eye-catching headlines. But the trouble is we're fighting on so many fronts at the moment that it's a cut and paste budget, isn't it? A bit here, a bit there, a bit somewhere else. I think the good thing of forward planning was the fact they've now put $2 billion on one side in case we don't get a deal with EC on Brexit, and we have to go out alone and spend more money on controls and supervision. So at least they're contingency planning. There's another Cameron Osborne, so bloody arrogant, thought the referendum wouldn't go through. They didn't do any planning at all. And they're blaming the government now, or the Labour Party are. The fact of the matter is, Cameron and Osborne were so arrogant, there's no planning at all. So they lost 18 months, 2 years. Then we had a leadership challenge. And now we're having to make up for lost time. But I think some of the steps are taken. Should now start simplifying things. Worries me when I read that they're going to have to recruit more civil servants. It'd be better to get some of them better trained. I've got an example of how incompetent and inefficient all civil service are. I've been having discussions on an income tax, even though I've now lived abroad for 14 years. 13 years, sorry. 13 and a half years. I had a letter, they're now divided the tax man's offices into different departments, looking after different types of taxpayer. They're amusingly called customers. And had a letter from a branch called the High Net Worth Unit. And that was July, I think it was. And in July, the High Net Worth Unit said they reviewed my situation and decided that it was no longer appropriate to be a member of the High Net Worth Unit for transferring me to the mid-sized businesses and special situations unit, and I'll be hearing from them. So on the 22nd, 23rd of August, heard from this new department welcoming me. I think with fingers crossed behind their back, welcoming me, and I'd have been appointed Mr. So-and-so, looking after my affairs, and blah, 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 blah. In September, undated, just in September 2017, wrote about my new details and blah, 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 which incidentally, I didn't receive until until the 4th of November. So I've written in September, no date in September. Telling me, there is a situation, said I should be self-assessed, and I could go to www.rumbumbum.yardyard, which I can't, which I won't, because I can't, because I don't do email, I don't do internet. It was a circular, unsigned, so much for personal service. Where did it come from? Came from the Home Network Unit, which 3 months ago, 3 months earlier, they said I didn't qualify to be a Home Network individual. I'd been moved down to mid-sized businesses. Now that is just incompetent. But it costs an awful lot of money. I was having a dispute with the revenue which was resolved. They dropped it, I won. But in the middle of that, I was getting unsatisfactory letters, so I was trying to respond to them by phone. And three of the four gentlemen I spoke to couldn't speak English very well. The accent suggested they were of Asian extraction. That's all the sense I could get from them. They might as well be in a call centre in Delhi. Now, if we simplified the tax system, A, we wouldn't need as many civil servants, which would then reduce the tax requirements to fund them. And if it was simple, you wouldn't need so many accountants making a good living. They're charging advice, what you're entitled to in reliefs and not entitled to in reliefs. Again, it's interesting, the National Health Service, who are bellyaching, they want so much more money, But the fact of the matter is, as was evidenced by a letter in the papers this week, they said, never mind about the nurses, sort out the overpaid middle and top management to walk around with clipboards instead of doing any work. And of course there's waste and inefficiency in the purchasing departments. The different health trusts pay far differing amounts of money for the same equipment. And of course you've got some of these drug companies that are increasing drugs. The one particular company, a Canadian company, the name escapes me, they put the price of a pill up from £6 to £800. Why did nobody challenge that? That's where the money can be saved. Oh, and of course, universities want more money. But that lovely lady who's vice chancellor of Bath, never quite know what a vice chancellor does anyway, is on £450,000 a year. Just been given a wage increase of 3.9%. They're shoved up to £480,000 a year. Plus the pension, plus a £1 million refurbished house, which she lives in rent-free, plus her expenses. Meanwhile, Russian students pay exorbitant tuition fees, which of course they don't. I mean, because they get loans to pay for them. They don't pay the loans. So every year, the government writes a dollar for a few millions off. But meanwhile, we employ more civil servants to administer the books, chase up the money that hasn't yet paid, and she writes it off. Now, if we ran our affairs more efficiently, we wouldn't need as many civil servants. There wouldn't be the opportunity for minimising your tax. Therefore, you wouldn't need as much tax. That could go back into the people who do the work in this country on a productive basis. Now, don't get index-linked, inflation-proof, gold-plated pensions, which the civil service get. But, of course, the country is run not by politicians. They come and go. It's run by the civil service. It's the tyranny of the civil service. It makes this country held back to the lack of diamondism. Hinkley Point is a perfect example. Power station being built by a foreign company. Can we give them a subsidy paid to do it? Why can't we do it ourselves? Keep the money in the country, reduce our balance of payments deficit, create more work for English people. But reverting the budget, as I said, I think it was a stick and paste one, but there are some good things in it. I think the idea of paying double council tax on overseas owned empty property is a good one. And making Google and Amazon pay the VAT on items that are sold by them because you can't collect the individual overseas country is a good one. And a really good one would be the tax transfer fees in football. So much money goes overseas, far too much for individual players. 25%, 30% withholding tax would be a good idea. Football club and set up against other tax liabilities. But also, the foreign agents take millions out of the country every year and don't pay up any tax. Withholding tax would nice money in. Painless. That, covered with work restrictions, which the FA should bring in, to make sure every English club had to have X number of players, English players, not British players, English players, in their first team squad, with a guaranteed minimum of X number of games, might give us a good English team. Help Southgate in the future, and help him to increase his already, what I regard as a very good job he's doing, with little help from the Premier League. As for Brexit, we'll come back to that now. Sooner out the better. In fact, we're now planning now for a contingency plan for a no-deal Brexit. Should also wake up Mr. Garnier and his other two henchmen, the unelected European Council and the unelected chief negotiator. The next thing to say, stop making demands on us, stop blackmailing us. As far as we're concerned, we've done enough. You're doing nothing except threaten and pontificate. Get on with it. And we'll do a deal with Ireland, sort out the border, special status, 1-1. I think then you will find a change in attitude from our European competitors, particularly how Mrs. Merkel's got pressure at home her own doorstep, where the Federation of German Businesses have told her to get the Brexit deal done to make sure trade continues in a normal, proper way. You've got 750,000 people in Germany building cars. A lot of them finish up in the UK. Well, you know, what's wrong with the Japanese cars? Or the South Korean cars, that matter. Just a thought. And now that we've an English cheese has been pronounced independently as the best in the world, France should be looking at how they can improve the quality of their dairy products, assuming we're going to continue importing them after Brexit, which we won't be. This Mr. Macron, the unfortunately named Mr. Macron, gets his finger out, his head together with Mrs. Merkel, and sorts out the Brexit terms. Unemployment down again, order book rising. Shortly, English fish caught by English boats, processed in English ports. Incidentally, I wonder how many of our audience know the difference between smoked Scottish salmon and Scottish smoked salmon. Smoked Scottish salmon is caught and processed in Scotland. Smoked Scottish salmon is shipped across to Holland, mass smoked in factories, and then brought across. So Scottish smoked salmon is much better than smoked Scottish salmon. And that's what we'll be having after Brexit. So keep plugging away. And all those constituencies in the North East and elsewhere who voted for Brexit should be wondering whether they want their Labour MP to be a Remainer. Because they're not reflecting. The attitude should be reflecting on whether they want a remaining MP representing a Brexit constituency, or should they join, be replaced, let them join the joys of the private sector and get a proper job, proper living for a change, instead of poncing about in the heavily subsidised bars and restaurants in the Houses of Parliament. In Ireland, when they got into serious financial troubles, the Irish, credit where it's due, led from the top. The cabinet took a voluntary cutting wages. So did the MPs. And the civil servants had a cut thrust upon them. Perhaps the Labour MPs to consider setting an example. But they don't agree with the views of the constituents they're supposed to be representing. They can demonstrate their integrity. They use that lovely phrase, "I resign," with immediate effect. Fat chance. That's all, folks. Speak to you next week.